your fellowship and turn to the doctrine of peace. Avoid reversionism. Avoid reversionism, apply separation, and ultimately this should be your blessing. Peace at all levels. One here, the vocabulary, in the Greek, first main word noun, feminine noun, eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E. It denotes a state of national tranquility on that level, a freedom from war, a peace between individuals and harmony. Two, the verb eirenuo, E-I-R-E-N-E-U-O, means to make peace, to cultivate or keep peace, to unite two discordant parties. Three, the adjective eirenikos, E-I-R-E-N-I-K-O-S, relating to peace, peaceable, loving, or bringing peace. Four, the verb eirenopoieo, E-I-R-E-N-O-P-O-I-E-I-O. That's why old MacDonald fails his spelling contest. E-I-O. This compound verb means to make peace, to do. Poel means to do. To make peace or to establish harmony. Five, you have the masculine noun, eirenopoios, E-I-R-E-N-O-P-O-I-O-S. That denotes a peacemaker, an arbitrator, if you will. B, our word in the Hebrew, single word to denote peace, is shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, also used in regards to greetings in Hebrew. It's an adjective meaning whole, entire, healthy, sound, secure, or tranquil. Peace, absence of war, obviously in the context of which it's used. Healthy relationship, friendship, or concord, agreement. Two, definition and description. A, the root meaning of peace is a state of completion, wholeness, or harmony. B, peace deals with the absence of conflict between two or more parties and the resultant state of unity. When you have conflict, you do not have a whole in regards to oneness in that regards. So see, the internal quality of peace, that peace within, is that state in which there is freedom from that which is upsetting, disquieting, or disturbing, such as interferes, agitating passions, or moral conflict, when your SCA isn't vibrating, essentially. Inner peace, see. D, externally, peace refers to a state in which there is harmony in personal relationships and mutual agreement or concord exists. Obviously, are like-minded in regards to one's thoughts in the relationship. E, nationally, peace is defined as freedom from civil disturbance or agitation arising from within a nation, and freedom from aggressors from outside the nation in the absence of war. Peace can be applied at different levels of civil life, obviously militarily, economically, etc. So F, spiritually, peace is reconciliation. Reconciliation is synonymous for peace. It's reconciliation to God via the three adjustments. Peace is seen in the salvation adjustment. That's eternal peace, positional peace, if you will, to the justice of God. Rebound, we establish experiential harmony or peace with God, in one with Him. And maturity adjustment, which is peace that is strived for over time, experientially. So three, Roman numeral three, God is a God of peace. and actively promotes peace among men, as seen in the way he is referred to in Scripture. Judges 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." Gideon being post-dispersion, 521 B.C., where God allowed the Jews to re-enter the land. To this day, it is still in Ophrah. The Abizrites. Isaiah 9:6. The verse is messianic. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." So that looks to the second member of the Godhead. Micah 5:5. "This one will be our peace when the Assyrian invades our land, when he tramples on our citadels. Then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men." This one is God, Yahweh, the Lord. Now Romans 15:33. Now the God of peace be with you all. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Philippians 4:9. "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. He'll pursue you with peace." As we saw, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself continue to grant you peace in every circumstance." The Lord be with you all. And Hebrews 13:20. "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord." So peace is one of the characteristics of God. God offers peace to us, but we must accept his terms. He is the one who is sovereign. He is the supreme being of the universe. He is our creator. Therefore, all aspects of life are geared towards him. He is the one who is absolutely righteous and perfect in all aspects. And therefore, it is our responsibility to adjust to God in our relationship with him, to have peace with him, not the other way around. Even though God made provision for us otherwise. So see, the peace of God never exists at the expense of righteousness or truth. He will not violate his righteousness, his attribute of righteousness, his plus R. We call that the watchdog of all of his other attributes. His love, peace, things of this nature. He does not violate his righteousness at any level in order to simply manifest these other aspects of his character, his person. Psalm 85:10. Loving kindness and truth, loyal love, have met together. Righteousness, as God's plus R, and peace have kissed each other. True peace comes through perfect morality. Jeremiah 33:6-8. Restoration of Israel. Verse 6, behold, I will bring to it health and healing. I will heal them under reversion recovery. I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth when they go back on positive volition. Obviously, they'll re-embrace the truth. God will provide it for them. Not stingily either, and peace will be associated with that. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel. I will build them as they were at first. Verse 8, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me and by which they have transgressed against me. So forgiveness of sins is the caveat in regards to them possessing peace and truth at this level once again. And then Zechariah 8:19. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth months will become joy, gladness, and cheerful feasts for the house of Israel, of Judah. So love, truth, and peace. So love, truth, and peace. And make these rituals and applications a reality. D, God who is perfect and does not sin, obviously dictates the terms of peace, and man is told to make peace with God. Isaiah 27:5. For let him rely on my protection. Let him make peace with me. Let him make peace with me. That is his directive will, to make peace with him. We are born in this world adversaries to God. Through the sin barrier, the sin nature, under spiritual death, we do not have peace with God in that condition. So we're commanded to make peace. So E, the salvation, rebound, and maturity adjustments are the mechanics for men to make peace with God. In the three general categories of expectation by God from men. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A justification of salvation term, where we have been given or imputed to us God's righteousness, and hence we are equalized, and in that way, positionally, we have peace that attaches itself to our eternal disposition. 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique. It's designed to have experiential peace since he forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So experiential peace between God is established. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the rebound. The maturity adjustment to justice of God. That is what sustains peace experientially for us in time. And then you compare that to James 3:18. And the fruit of righteousness, literally, is sown in peace. Divine good production, application to doctrine and fellowship, is sown in peace, in the sphere of peace, by those who make peace. To pursue doctrine and in the maturity adjustment in fellowship, we not only establish peace with God, we are essentially operating as peacemakers with others around us, if they will adhere to and give God an ear in that respect. So as peace with God comes through faith in Christ, and God's reconciliatory terms have been met because we have been declared plus are justified as a result of faith in Christ. Gee, when men refuse to accept God's terms of peace, they suffer the consequences of their rebellion. They remain postured, if you will, in an act of war against God, apart from pursuing peace and meeting the requirements. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God keeps on being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What one can expect when they abandon the peace accords is God's wrath. We, like God, are to pursue peace with all. We are not to be troublemakers. On the contrary, we are to pursue peace. To pursue peace, however, can bring great trouble into one's life as people reject it, because we will not compromise in the terms and conditions established. Usually when nations and others come together to establish a peace accord, there is compromise on both parties. With doctrine, there is no compromise. Doctrine stands intact and unmoving. Hebrews 12, let's see what I got going here. 14. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification, the phase 2 sanctification, be set apart to God for a purpose without which no one will see the Lord. Sanctification phase 1, without which no one will see the Lord. It looks at one's witness to life and the evangelizing that would be attributed to the unbeliever for them to have available the same peace that we already have secured as believers. Hebrews 12, 14, 1 Peter. How many times I got to take that out of my computer and it keeps popping up? Computers are weird. 1 Peter 3:11. That extra verse there is what I'm talking about. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the adjusted believer. Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And God will pursue you with peace. But the caveat is you got to separate. You got to apply separation. And you got to apply doctrine otherwise. Roman numeral 4, phase 1, peace with God, which is known as reconciliation, to be reconciled. To reconcile a marriage or a relationship means to reestablish peace between the parties, a union. A, for a reconciliation to occur, it first denotes the existence of conflict, odds, or hostility between two or more parties. If that conflict does not exist, then there is no need for reconciliation. B, reconciliation was taught in the Levitical offerings by an animal sacrifice known as the peace offering. That taught the doctrine of reconciliation through the ritual sacrificial code, the Mosaic Law, Leviticus 3, 1 through 17. Known as the peace offering. Now, if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, so the sacrifices that they would go in, obviously designed as a teaching aid to teach doctrine. And the doctrine here is looking at peace via justification of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in his work on the cross. If he is going to offer out of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without defect before the Lord. The herd relates to the fact that the animal can come from cattle or other animals as it may be appropriate. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering. To lay one's hand on one's head denotes a transfer of authority. And slay at the doorway of the tent of meeting, the priest. And Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood around on the altar, which recognizes the work of Christ on the cross. And from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. Fire represents judgment. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails. And the two kidneys with the fat. Fat generally reflects purity. And all these aspects of doctrine attached to Christ and his person and work on the cross. He was without sin, etc. That is on them, which is on the loins and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's son shall offer it up and smoke on the altar in a burnt offering, soothing aroma to God, as it provides peace between men. It is the instrument for peace, which is on the wood that is on the fire, verse 5. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. A soothing aroma looks at the fact that God is satisfied, hence teaches propitiation. But if his offering for sacrifice of peace offers to the Lord is from the flock, shall offer it male or female without defect. That looks at sheep, goats, things of that nature. He is going to offer a lamb for his offering, and he shall offer it before the Lord. So all these sacrifices are designed so that any can make the applications. If you're not wealthy enough to have cattle, etc., then you sheep. If you're not wealthy enough to have that, then and actually use lesser animals. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering, again, showing transference, and slay it before the tent of the meeting, and Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood around on the altar. And from the sacrifice of peace offerings, he shall bring as an offering by fire to the Lord his fat, the entire fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails. by all indications, the individual bringing the sacrifice is the one who gets to slit the carotid of the animal. If you're squeamish, you're going to have a hard time in God's plan. And then the priests do the rest of the work. 11, then the priest shall offer it up on the smoke of the altar as food, an offering by fire to the Lord. Moreover, if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on his head and slay it before the tent of the meeting. The sons of Aaron shall sprinkle his blood around the altar. And from it shall present his offerings as an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins and the liver, he shall remove from the kidneys. The priest shall offer them up and smoke upon the altar as food, an offering by fire for soothing aroma, and all fat is the Lord. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You shall not eat any fat or any blood. See, man's sins constituted the hostility or enmity between God and man. We are born in this world spiritually dead, physically alive, but spiritually dead. By virtue of our sin nature, which is part of our genetic code, we are born in a state of hostility towards God, Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in a state of unbelief, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that's our old sin nature, children of wrath, even as the rest. We are in opposition to God. Colossians 2, 13 through 14. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, failure to isolate the sin nature is the analogy there. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, that debt being in the form of unrighteousness, sins, consisting of decrees against us, and which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The blood or spiritual death of Christ, which the blood represents, his work on the cross, removed the enmity. His work on the cross is that which removed the hostility barrier. Obviously, you still have to believe to put your signature on the peace accord, per se. Ephesians 2, 13 through 16. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, his spiritual death, the giving up of his human spirit during the 3 hours on the cross from noon to 3. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, the code of all the manifold ordinances of the law, containing ordinances in the specific details, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. And Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For his Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, in Christ, who was both God true deity and true humanity, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, to make a provision for peace. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, again, looking at the spiritual death, payment of our sin debt through his human spirit, which was plus R. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So the peace now offered is through Christ. It's called phase one peace because we believe in Christ to get it. Faith apart from works. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We've been reconciled through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the means. He is the agent provided through his system of faith. F, the gospel is the message of this peace. Phase one gospel, as well as phase two. Ephesians 6:15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is that information necessary for men to have peace with God and hence peace with ourselves. F, the gospel is a message of this peace. G, this peace is potential for all men in order that all that will believe may receive it. He made it potential, but obviously one must themselves step over the line and accept the peace proposal. Ephesians 2:17. And he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Acts 10:36. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, proclaiming peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some counsel others, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to a change of mind, so that you can have peace. God's timing is designed for all those who will be positive to attain peace. And it comes through faith in Christ. Age believers are to be ambassadors of this peace to unbelievers. Again, Ephesians 6:15. Roman numeral 5 deals with phase 2 peace. And I'm just going to go ahead and call it here. We'll pick this up Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.